Hello, fight fans, and welcome to another episode of the MMA Roadshow with John Morgan. This is Cold Coffee coming to you from lovely Las Vegas, or Sin City, if you will. On this episode, we're going to catch up with John on the road in Krakow, Poland. He's joined by a couple special guests, and then we're going to play the interviews with David Allen, the Senior Vice President and General Manager of Europe, Middle East, and Africa for the UFC. And then we're going to wrap it up by playing the full media day scrum of one Mirko Krokop. Let me quickly say, there were some audio issues that happened while over there in Poland, but hey, that's one of the unique things about doing this show on the road. Shit happens, but hey, the show's got to go on, so there's growing pains with everything, and you know, this stuff is going to happen, but I think it's still a great show, and we hope you enjoy, and we appreciate you listening, and let's get on with the show.
It is episode number 2 of the MMA Roadshow with John Morgan. We're just getting started on this thing, but we had fun with the first episode, and so we're doing it again. I really appreciate everybody that listened and gave feedback and all that good stuff, and so here we are doing it again. Let me set the scene for you. My man, Cold Coffee, is sitting back in Vegas. Instead, I've got Shamat Karsandu with me. We are sitting on the rooftop of the Sheraton Hotel in Krakow, Poland. Krakow, if you're Polish.
Krakow.
Krakow, if you're Polish. And it's just absolutely gorgeous. The sun has come out today. It's been beautiful. A little colder earlier in the week, but the sun has come out. It's gorgeous. Sitting behind my man, Shamat Kar, is a 700-year-old castle that's just right here in the center of town. Sitting behind me, I believe, is Jan Blachowicz over there in his camp.
There with his entourage, and they're all soaking up the sun, enjoying the moment.
It's fantastic. Well, of course, we've got UFC Fight Night 64 here this weekend in Poland. Not the greatest card on paper. A lot of newcomers coming. 10 actual fighters making their UFC debut. But sometimes I think that can be fun. I think it can be interesting. And as we said, we shot a video preview a little earlier today that you guys will see. Seven Poland versus the world cards, or fights, I should say, on this card, which could end up being kind of a fun night.
Absolutely. I mean, before we get into it, can I just say, I have known about the podcast in the works for a while. It is about damn time. I think you mentioned it briefly on the first episode, but look, the facts are the facts. MMAJunkie.com is the one of the outlets, I think the only outlet, I'm not 100% sure, that can truly claim to be at every single UFC event around the world every year, right? And John Morgan, you, my friend, you are at majority of them. And we've been talking about this for a while. Hey, man, you got all these great stories. You're in every country. And there's so many other podcasts out there already that kind of do all the analysis and the previews. It's just good to kind of get local media perspectives and, you know, get some bonus kind of coverage, you know, that you may not, you know, get from the other outlets. So I think it's about damn time. I'm glad that you're doing this. And I'm glad it's going to be, you know, it's now on Apple, iTunes.
Thank you, brother.
It's on Android, you know, Stitcher, you name it. You can download this thing. But yeah, okay, so let's talk about this card. And, you know, like we mentioned earlier on, you know, in the preview, it's not the sexiest card on paper, but listen, you just don't know what's going to happen. And like, with seven Polish fighters on the card, we were talking about how that might even kind of affect how the crowd enjoys the night, how it might translate onto the broadcast. You know, if some of these Poles start to kind of knock off a few wins and that crescendo just builds, and we saw the scenes last year in Dublin, you know, with every fighter just winning and the momentum is building until, you know, Conor McGregor obviously done what he done in the main event against Brandao. So you just never know. But, you know, it's definitely, I think, a good look for the Polish MMA fans to be supporting Polish MMA fighters on a UFC card for the very first time here in Krakow.
Should be very cool. The arena, we put a couple pictures. We were there yesterday on Wednesday for the media day. We put a couple pictures up on Instagram, the MMA Roadshow, if you want to follow that. But it's a cool venue. I mean, it's brand new. It's less than a year old. I think it opened in May of 2014. Inside, and I said it first off, and it's been confirmed to me by other people, they feel the same way. It feels like a miniature version of the Stockholm Arena. I think it's the color of the seats. It's the railing that's there that's kind of reminiscent of a soccer stadium. So inside, it kind of feels like that. Obviously, a much smaller version, not 30,000 that we saw last time we were there. And then on the outside, technologically speaking, as I say, beautiful. It's just LED lights all the way around. As we left the media day, they had the lights on, and I was bummed I couldn't get a real good picture of it because there were trees and stuff. But basically, the artwork, the banner that you see, was just encompassing the entire arena. You know, you were seeing Gabriel Gonzaga, Mirko Krokop, all that stuff, and it looked really cool. So I don't know about you, but I'm just anxious to see it. This is my first time to Poland. fantastic history here. I mean, KSW, if you haven't heard, is a regional promotion in Poland, and they do massive numbers both in live gate and in television. So, I mean, this is a country that knows their MMA.
Absolutely. I mean, like you said, from what I've been told, KSW sold 16,000 tickets or there or thereabouts a few months ago, and obviously they've just had this had a grip on the Polish MMA scene. Every single one of their events has been here in Poland, so they know this market through and through. They've got a very hardcore and a fan base that's going to go true to what they want to do and the kind of events they put on, which is to present and promote local Polish fighters here. They're doing an event in London, actually, the very first event outside of Poland later on this year, which would be quite interesting. But going back to the stadium or the arena, I loved it. I think it's an intimate stadium arena, and I think the fact that it's very kind of like enclosed, it's very kind of like you're going to have the crowd really on you. It's very, very intimate. I'm looking forward to seeing what the atmosphere is going to be like, because like yourself, this is my first time to Krakow. I've never been here. I don't know what the Polish MMA fans are like. I've never actually seen a KSW production myself personally, so I don't know what kind of atmosphere they can create. But listen, when the UFC comes to town, to a city or a country for the very first time, there's a lot of excitement surrounding the fact that the UFC are in town for the very first time. So we'll see. Hopefully the MMA fans are going to get behind the production and kind of create a good atmosphere for the fighters to perform in front of.
Well, we're all about atmosphere. Right now, we got James Brown playing in the background. It's only the second episode, but this is the first episode to feature James Brown in the background, so that's good stuff. Adult beverage in hand, which always makes it a little bit more enjoyable experience, especially sitting out in the sunshine like we are right now. The MMA Roadshow. So we talk about travel. We talk about MMA. Let's do something a little different. You have done a little bit of traveling yourself, too. My man, Shamar Carr, was over in the United States covering, of all things, WWE. Now, yeah. don't tune away, MMA fans. I promise. I am MMA through and through. I'll be honest. I was a wrestling fan when I was a little kid. Saturday night's main event, Hulk Hogan, Macho Man, Randy Savage was, amazing. Andre the Giant. And then I was about 8 years old, and I figured out it was fake. And at that point, I was like, why am I watching this? This is stupid. But I get it, man. People love it. It's the drama. It's the soap opera. It's the production of it all, man. But you actually went to WrestleMania. You covered it as a member of the media. You had some content on MMA Junkie, which was fun. It ended up being great because, when you pitched the idea to us, we were like, well, yeah. I mean, we thought at the time maybe Brock Lesnar was coming back. We thought that would be great. The CM Punk angle is there. Chael Sonnen. And then out of nowhere, we get a Ronda Rousey bomb, which is the most desired content you can possibly have on an MMA website. But sure. Talk to me first. What was it like covering WWE as a member of the media? Because, and I don't mean this in any offense whatsoever to anybody that enjoys wrestling, but you're not actually covering a sporting event. I mean, you're covering an entertainment event, right? So, I mean, what was the experience like?
It was definitely different. I mean, like, I've been going to WrestleMania for quite a number of years, and I still enjoy it from a fan's perspective. I think it's fun. It's a storyline, and it's fun. But when I pitched it to you guys initially, I thought, there could be some really interesting stuff here. And I was talking about the CM Punk angle and the Brock Lesnar angle. Obviously, like you said, Ronda Rousey having her WrestleMania moment was very, very impactful. But in terms of media, I have to say, and I hope that this doesn't affect my WWE media credentials for future years, because I think maybe perhaps next year with Ronda Rousey, a lot of rumors about her being involved in next year's WrestleMania event in Arlington, Texas, and at the AT&T Arena Stadium, Cowboy Stadium. It was very, very difficult to get access to the kind of people that we wanted to speak to. In terms of what I'm used to with the UFC and MMA fighters, man, they are so open. They give you all the time you want. There's plenty of media opportunities. They'll literally bend over backwards to make sure that, all the media outlets, get enough time with the fighters to tell the stories and get, those critical interviews to kind of create your content. But as we were getting walked around, it was like, okay, we've got X number of wrestlers. You can pick two. You have 2 minutes. You get one question.
Wow.
And I was like, how are you supposed to construct an interview and get any content from that? And then on the other hand, when I actually started to pick out some of the wrestlers, some of them were actually in character, which doesn't exactly help you, because they're in character. They're trying to promote WrestleMania, and I'm trying to get more of a a realist take on the whole MMA angle with some of the individuals involved, historically and also presently. But I was trying to angle maybe towards more the veterans that don't really have a current WWE contract, so don't really have too much to lose in terms of how open they can be in the conversation. Mm-hmm. So I got a pretty cool interview with Roddy Piper. And like I said, I was able to only ask one question, but in his response to that one question, you know, he referenced Dana White, he referenced CM Punk, he referenced Ronda Rousey. So it was like a great interview in that essence in terms of the his response. And I mean, the thing is, you know, Piper has a son who is a pro MMA fighter. So I think he got it, and he was able to give me something that I could use. But to be honest with you, throughout the entire week, I was actually able to get more out of the non-official WWE media events and opportunities than the actual official events. I mean, nobody wants to kind of, you know, wait around 2 or 3 hours in a hotel lobby. But hey, if you're waiting on Chael Sonnen, you know that's going to be a great interview, and he's always got a lot to say. And you know, waiting for Chael Sonnen, I was able to bump into a Punk Ass from Tap Out, who obviously has such a big affiliation with MMA. Really was one of those grassroots companies on the MMA side of things with the apparel line, but now is an official brand ambassador, a brand associate with the WWE. So that's very interesting. And you know, that was a kind of bonus interview I got there. But I thought it was pretty cool, and obviously with the Ronda Rousey moment, you know, it was just great to kind of get the WWE fans' take. Some of them didn't know who she was, some of them did know who she was, and we kind of see a lot of, you know, back and forth with the WWE fan base and the MMA fan base, and I thought it was very interesting. I don't know if this is true or not, but I heard over the course of the 24 hours after WrestleMania took place that Ronda Rousey apparently got close to 100,000 new followers on Twitter.
Wow.
That just shows the power of what they call the WWE universe, because some of these wrestlers have like in the region of millions of followers, and that can be great in terms of marketing, especially on social media, especially for the UFC trying to get some of their, you know, fighters out there to a more mainstream and wider audience.
Help us understand, because you know, Dana White is fond of saying that MMA reporters live in a bubble, and to be honest, I do buy into that sometimes. We live so much in this world, especially, you know, at MMA Junkie, where we're living and breathing this stuff, that sometimes we do forget to step out a little bit. And wait, hold on. Make sure you're looking at this from another perspective. Help me understand. You touched on it there, but how many people really knew what Ronda, what the reaction was? And you had a great content. You taped video the next night. The next night, I guess Monday night, it was in San Jose.
The night after WrestleMania, there's Raw, Monday Night Raw. And there was, I think, about 15, 16,000 fans. And I thought, now that they've had 24 hours to digest WrestleMania and Ronda Rousey's moment, it might be a good opportunity to kind of going to get their feedback as they were walking out. So yeah, we did a piece on that.
So tell me what it is. I mean, did people get it right away? Were people feeling it? Were they liking it? Did they know who she was? Did it mean something to them? Or did it feel forced? Did it not? I mean, just help me understand, what do these WWE fans know about Ronda Rousey?
Man, they loved it. First of all, they loved the moment. They I think the majority knew who she was, and they were embracing it. They were like, hey, let's have some more. We'd love to see Ronda Rousey in the WWE Divas division. We'd love to see Ronda Rousey kick some of the guys' asses in the WWE. They get it, you know? And I think they appreciate what Ronda Rousey is from the entertainment point of view in terms of her marketability, you know, the character she can portray. And I think there's a lot of realism that comes into kind of giving you some credence in terms of what your character could potentially be in the WWE. I mean, after Brock Lesnar's first run in the WWE, you know, he went to the UFC, became UFC heavyweight champion, and that's a credential for him to cash in on his return to the WWE. He comes in as this legit, you know, sports athlete, legit fighter that can do some real damage to you. So it kind of like, you know, blends the lines of between realism and you know, and theatrics, I suppose. And I think they saw the same thing with Ronda Rousey. And of course, if you have, you know, obviously The Rock, you know, kind of, you know, endorsing you in that moment, that's not going to hurt you either. But the majority of fans loved it. They wanted some more. Some of them were already speculating the fact that they'd love to see Ronda Rousey and Stephanie McMahon get it on at WrestleMania next year. And they're really buzzing and excited about the prospect of future WWE moments by Ronda Rousey.
Sir, by the way, he is a serious actor now. I would like for you to refer to him as Dwayne Johnson. He is not The Rock. Here's something interesting. So, after WWE was over, this past week was the 2-year anniversary of Conor McGregor's UFC debut. Yeah. And I saw some of our friends in the Irish media, fueled by Conor himself, obviously, you know, saying, hey, it's been 2 years, and look, I'm the biggest star in the sport right now. I weighed in on this on Twitter, and I'll share my opinion afterwards. But I don't want to steal your opinion. So you know, I don't want to taint it. So tell me, from a European perspective, is Conor McGregor or Ronda Rousey the bigger star?
No doubt about it, it's Conor McGregor.
Yeah?
It's no doubt about it, it's Conor McGregor. I think I know Dana White said that no fighter gets more media than Ronda Rousey, but I think a lot of those media outlets are North American. To be honest, right? Here in Europe, we're dying, we're crying, we're waiting for superstars to emerge, and it's been a fantastic, I'd say, 12 to 18 months. I think it really kicked off with this kind of current regime or this current roster with the UFC, with that Gustafsson performance with Jon Jones, mm-hmm. and then building upon that, we saw the emergence of Conor McGregor. We now have Joanna Jędrzejczyk as a UFC champion. So things are really falling into place. But in terms of who's bigger, from Ronda Rousey, Conor McGregor, from my perspective, from the people, whether it's fans or fellow media members here in Europe I conversate with, it's definitely Conor McGregor. And the reason why is we're just waiting on a potential big super arena event, whether it's in Dublin or whether it's elsewhere in Europe. And we're just thinking about the potential prospects of Conor McGregor headlining some shows here in Europe. And again, I have to hark back to some of the media coverage he's getting here in Europe as well, which is very mainstream, is very much in the public limelight. The mainstream tabloids are covering him, the main TV channels are covering him, and that's something that maybe Ronda Rousey wouldn't get, or maybe people don't relate to here in Europe.
It's interesting, and maybe I framed the question wrong too, because you gave me a great answer from a European perspective, and I guess when I was trying to answer it, I wanted your European point of view, but I'm also talking about like on a global scale.
Sure.
And you mentioned it right away, the media that she gets. I mean, she gets mainstream media. As you said, it is North American, it is United States media outlets, but I mean, she gets the mainest of mainstream that no other UFC fighter would get. It doesn't matter who they are. You could take, you know, Anderson Silva if he was still winning, or Jon Jones, or, you know, you could take them both and they wouldn't take them, but they'll take Ronda Rousey.
Don't get me wrong. I mean, let's face it, right now, in not only North America, but I believe globally, Ronda Rousey is a part of number one movie in the world.
That's right.
That's a fact.
That's right.
That's a fact.
You saw the movie, right?
Yeah, I did see the movie.
It's like a scene, right?
It is a scene. It's more of a cameo. It's like a fight scene.
And we're talking about Fast and Furious 7, of course.
Yeah, Fast and Furious 7, which is out now.
Which is embarrassing that's the number one movie in the world. that shows you the society has declined horribly.
You just wait till Fast and Furious 13 starring Conor McGregor, my friend. but look, you know, I wasn't expecting much. I did hear that it is a small part. It is a cameo. But listen, man, it's just the start of her career. You know, she's going to be in the Entourage movie later on this summer, and that's got a lot of potential behind it. It's got a very hardcore fan base, so she's going to be in two of the biggest movies of the summer. Conor McGregor can't lay claim to that whatsoever right now at this stage of his career. But you know, if we're talking globally, yeah, absolutely, 100%. Ronda Rousey is the biggest star.
Okay, yeah, and that's the argument I make. I tell you, some of the things I've seen, it's incredible, and I've shared this with some people, but I'll share it here. A couple things I've seen: she was a guest fighter in Brazil. The Betch Coelho matchup, saw that coming from a mile away. They brought her down as a guest fighter. She already started talking about Betch while she was there. She already started talking about her connection to HSBC Arena. She had actually done some judo competition there. So she was laying the groundwork. She's very, very smart. Very, very smart. She was laying the groundwork months in advance. But I saw the way the Brazilians reacted to her. Obviously, they reacted to her great at that press conference that kicked off the world tour down in Rio de Janeiro. The other thing I've seen that was amazing, and I go back to this. So I believe it was the Expendables premiere. They did a Hong Kong premiere, and they flew her out as a guest fighter. It was a Macau event. I believe it was the Tyron Woodley, Dong Young Kim. They flew her out as a guest fighter, and she did this Hong Kong media appearance. The beginning of fight week, Dana White and Ronda Rousey did a simultaneous Q&A in Hong Kong. They were both on stage at the same time. It was open to fans, and it was open to media. Anybody could attend that wanted to. Anybody could ask a question. 80% of the questions during that media session were for Ronda, not Dana. I mean, it's so opposite. Every UFC event, you know, when Dana's mobbed, and, you know, when he used to do scrums, he would sit there for an hour. This was essentially an open scrum that anybody could go to, and 80% of the questions were for Ronda Rousey. So just an incredible star. I do think she's the biggest star in the world, and I know some people might debate that, but as far as UFC star goes, I think she's number one in the company right now.
Yeah, I mean, like I said, I agree. I think if you look at some of the outlets that have covered her, everybody wants a piece of Ronda Rousey, whether it's late-night TV shows, whether it's Hollywood studios. And I think Hollywood is smart, because they're not catering just to North America. It's a global business, and they need crossover stars that, you know, have an appeal. And the UFC is a global brand, and one of their biggest stars is Ronda Rousey. So I think everything just makes sense there.
Let's talk about this week. Obviously, big fights with Ronda and Conor McGregor. I love it when they fight. Traffic is good on the site. Yeah. Business is good. Yeah. Let's talk about this week, though. Traveled over here. Obviously, it was for me, not the most direct route. We're always trying to save money. It was Las Vegas to New York, New York to Berlin, Berlin to Krakow. And but I didn't get stuck in an airport for 8 hours. You got stuck in an airport on Abby, our your cameraman, yeah, an MMA Junkie team member as well, on his birthday, eight hours in the airport.
Yeah, I mean, we were meant to arrive here at 2 p.m. On Tuesday. Didn't get here, I think, until close to midnight instead. I'll be honest, not the best place you want to be spending in terms of your birthday. So I felt sorry for my boy, Abby. But, you know, I got some of the alcohol beverages flowing, you know, seeing as it was his birthday. And the time did start to fly by quite quickly thereafter. But look, we made it. We got here. And I wasn't really sure what to expect. I mean, you know, just harking back to the last event, Stockholm was such a huge event, so I was really pumped and excited to get there and to cover it. Obviously, you know, being a first arena or a stadium event here in Europe, the second biggest of all time in UFC history, Gustafsson headlining, potentially getting a title shot thereafter. There were so much good stories there to cover. So I wasn't sure to what to expect, but I have to say I've been pleasantly surprised with some of the feedback and some of the interactions I've had, so to speak, with some of the fighters. And I'm really looking forward to, I'll be saying it all week, I'm really looking forward to this Joanne Calderwood fight.
Yeah.
I can't wait, because I was doing some research the other day while we were killing some time at the Vienna airport. Joanna Calderwood's got the most followers on Twitter from the entire card.
That's interesting.
But by quite a mile as well. And she's done for having only had one fight in the UFC, being a female fighter in the strawweight division, all that business, you know. She is the big. You'd expect if Mirko Crocrop had started a Twitter account maybe 5 years ago, he'd be way, way up there. But he didn't choose to go that route in terms of social media. But I'm really, really looking forward to Joanne Calderwood, only because that Glasgow card is right around the corner. And I believe if she wins, we can have a great title fight. It'll be the prospect of Joanne Calderwood and Joanna Janjacek fighting, that excites me.
Yeah, so Wednesday was media day. We went to the European PR office does something interesting where they basically make every fighter available. So 24 fighters on the card. As we said, 10 making their UFC debut. Several of them that didn't speak English, which makes it a little tougher, and they don't necessarily have professional translators with them. It's a cornerman that kind of speaks English. And hey, listen, I mean, I only speak one language. I got a little bit of broken Spanish, so I'm not faulting anybody for not speaking English. I'm just saying it does make it a little challenging. But it's pretty cool. I do like what Europe does that the other offices in the UFC don't do, which is make every single fighter available, because you find these little hidden gems and hidden nuggets. And but let's start with the Calderwood fight. You know, this is something that I've been calling for a while as well. And you and I both spent time speaking to Dave Allen, who's the director out here. I'm actually going to play the audio at the end of this podcast. I'm going to play the audio of my conversation with him. I just have a feeling, knowing Dave, that if Joanne Calderwood wins this fight, he is going to be petitioning Sean Shelby, yep, petitioning the UFC to have this title fight with Joanna Janjacek in Scotland in the summer. And I can't blame him for that. I mean, it seems perfect. It's a 115-pound women's title fight, which I think you and I both agree is a fantastic division, but of course is a new division. People don't necessarily know yet. It's not a pay-per-view fight. I don't even think it's a co-main. And I don't mean that as an offense to them. It's just, you know, people don't know the names, and they got to be willing to pay the $50. I don't think it's a pay-per-view fight. That's going to be a Fox Sports event, and I think it makes sense as a headline. I mean, Europe has been begging for a title fight. This is a European champion. If Joanne Calderwood wins, and I'm not trying to just overlook her opponent, Marina Rose, who looks legit. I don't know a ton about her game, but has some confidence and some swagger. But if Calderwood wins, I just think stylistically that fight would be incredible. Those two are going to stand and bang. But that fight should take place in Scotland in the summer.
Absolutely. Well, obviously, they both have a kickboxing or slash a Muay Thai background, so that says – all you need to know about a potential fight between those two. But I think you're right. I think, you know, the stars seem to be aligning. I think all Calderwood needs to do is win that fight on Saturday night against Marina Moroz. And like I said, she's got the most followers on Twitter. She's a bigger star in Scottish MMA. Scotland's been begging for a UFC event there, and they finally got one coming. And to then just put the cherry on the top of the cake to say, hey, guess what? One of your hometown girls is going to be fighting on the very first UFC event in Glasgow. Hey, and guess what? It's a title fight,
yeah.
And it's two Europeans fighting in the title fight main event. That sells itself.
It makes too much sense to not do it, right? Yeah. The only thing that I think could have thrown a wrench in that was Claudia Gadelha. Like, you know, a lot of people think that she beat Joanna the first time around. It was a great fight. And had she had an amazing performance on this card, then maybe you go, I think she's more deserving. But she got hurt, yep. And she can't fight. So, I mean, I think that just cleared up everything. So, I agree. To me, I wouldn't say it's a number one contender fight because Marina Moroz, if she pulls off the upset, is not getting a title fight. But I think for Joanna Calder, what if she wins? There's just too much there that makes sense. We did speak to all 24 fighters. Let me just ask you, your impressions of Media Day. Was there anybody that made an impact with you that stood out, that was something unexpected? What did you take from that day?
I'll be honest. I mean, I remember doing the Media Day in Stockholm, and the absolute standout star was the emergence of Amir Makwani. It was, like, unbelievable. Yep. This guy – actually, did I say his name right?
You Makwan didn't, but I knew you meant Makwan Amir Khani.
It's Makwan Amir Khani, and the guy is – and here it is. After that performance, he's already a guest fighter, you know, on our UFC Fight Week, and he was cracking us up earlier with some of his telephone interviews. I don't know if there's anyone in particular that stood out from a personality standpoint. I mean, I think the main junkie headline was, check out this very uneventful face-off between Mirko Krokop.
I'm not going to lie to you. It was incredibly uneventful.
I mean, that you're keeping it real. But what I thought was pretty interesting was the fact that we both tweeted, and I think a few other media members did, that one of the main card fighters, Canada's own
Sheldon Westcott,
passed out, fainted, and at first it did look like it was Sheldon Westcott because there was a guy that was lying down on the ground. He had just passed out. He just come around, and there was a member of the UFC PR team fanning him with some paper just to get him some air and so forth. And he looked like a spitting image of Sheldon Westcott. We both interviewed him just literally 10 minutes before, and we tweeted it out. And then when we got a closer look and a closer inspection, we're like,
That's not Sheldon Westcott.
It ended up being another member of media. Thankfully, yeah. You know, he was fine. They took him to the hospital just to take a precaution to make sure he was actually fine. And he ended up being absolutely fine. So no problems there. But that was probably the most eventful thing that took place on Ultimate Media Day for UFC.
That was pretty funny. Yeah, it was funny because everything was over. The face-offs were over. We were basically starting to import audio, import video, you know, get ready to upload everything. And all of a sudden, we turn around. You know, there's like a little commotion, and there's a dude laying on the ground. As you said, there's commotion around and people are fanning, and a couple other members of the media were like, dude, Sheldon Westcott just fainted, man. Like, must be a rough weight cut. He's trying to get to 170 for the, you know, oh my gosh. And I looked over, and sure enough, this gentleman from the media had on the same style jacket color that Sheldon had been wearing. He'd been wearing a suit that day, and it was like, oh my God, that is Sheldon Westcott. Like, that's incredible.
We were like, right, I need to tweet this out right now just to report on it and get on it.
Here's the funny thing, because I've got my phone in my hand. I'm like, I should take a picture. And then I'm like, well, that's incredibly insensitive to take a picture of a dude that's passed out, you know? But then I'm like, I don't even think I should say this. Like, I just feel bad. And then I'm thinking, well, my USA Today and MMA Junkie paid me to be here to report. Yep. If I don't report this and they find out that these European outlets are, you know, reporting what happened and I didn't do it, I'm going to get in trouble. So I tweeted it and then afterwards found out it wasn't and deleted it all that. Yeah. But that was an interesting day. The other thing that was fun, and actually in addition to Dave Allen audio, I'm going to play the full audio at the end of this in case people didn't see the video of Mirko Krokop. Spent about 20 minutes with Mirko Krokop, excuse me, and was kind of an interesting 20 minutes. I know you were doing some other interviews at the time, but we had basically been forewarned that Mirko was not in the best of moods, was not necessarily feeling it, so just to be prepared for that. And sure enough, he came and sat down, and Mirko was like one-word answers, not, you know, basically making a disinterested look on his face, like, hey, why are you even bothering me with this stuff? And so we just started having a little fun with him, kind of knew that he was going to be that way, so I'd kind of just planned to ask him, like, hey, you hate doing media, don't you? What's the stupidest question you've heard all week? Pretty sure that he was going to say that one, and he did, and it just, I think it kind of like loosened things up a little bit, and ended up being pretty fun. And you know, this main event, Mirko Krokop, Gabriel Gonzaga, we talked about in the preview earlier, I don't know if it's a fight that people were looking for, were expecting, were wanting. But I will say that Mirko, at 40 years old, seems to be in good shape, seems to be in good spirits. And the fun thing that's been able to see all week is just the reverence that people have for Mirko Krokop. I mean, he is an absolute MMA legend. And even the fighters on the card, I mean, we were doing separate interviews and we were in separate places. But I know I talked to a couple people, and I'm sure you heard the same, that, you know, fighters on the prelims were like, dude, I'm not going to lie, I took a picture with him. You know, like I was like, dude, that's Krokop, man. I want to be next to him. So it's been really cool to see just kind of the reverence that even if he is later in his career, even if, you know, who knows how many times we're going to see him fight again, that people, especially in the MMA community, are like, dude, that's Mirko Krokop.
Absolutely. I mean, like I said, from a personal point of view, we spoke about this briefly on the preview for UFC Krakow. I always thought, oh man, it'd be great just to be in the arena, either as a fan or as a member of media, just to see Mirko Krokop do his thing in the middle of the octagon. Obviously, his first UFC run didn't really go that well, but, you know, look, at the end of the day, he has been taking care of himself. He is a serious athlete. You know, seeing a lot of his pre-fight interviews and kind of just, you know, getting to know him a little bit, he does spend a lot of time looking after himself in terms of what he eats, his health. He gets, you know, the right amount of sleep every night. So maybe he's not in bad shape for a 40-year-old. He hasn't been spending the last, you know, 20 years really partying and letting himself go in between fights. He's a 24/7 athlete. He looks after himself. So that, maybe that's what's going to really do him justice in the latter part of his career as he enters his second run in the UFC. And it's kind of weird, like, looking at Gonzaga. I mean, he doesn't seem up for it. He didn't really want to take this fight. I don't really think he cares too much, but it is a showcase fight at the end of the day. It's like, you know, one of the best highlight knockouts in UFC history. You know, sometimes you want to leave those moments as they are, leave them alone. But look, the UFC have put this fight together, and we talked about it briefly earlier on, and I want to give a shout out to Mike Bond. Obviously, great statistician, always has amazing facts he brings to some of his articles to MMA Junkie. And one of the interesting facts he brought up this week was the fact that Mirko Krokop has never lost a rematch.
Interesting.
And that's very, very interesting. Yep. So, obviously, that shows to me that he looks at his losses, he figures out where he went wrong, he makes the adjustments, makes the improvements, and then has a second crack at it, and he gets the job done. So, I think with Mirko Krokop doing that kind of game plan, in terms of, you know, rematches, and looking at Gonzaga maybe not being motivational for this fight, mm-hmm. I'm going to lean towards Krokop here. I don't know about you, but I was kind of like thinking about Gonzaga being the younger fighter here, but look at Gonzaga as well.
Yeah.
He's been in the UFC for so long as well, and there's a lot of miles in that tank, but I'm slightly leaning towards Krokop here a little bit.
It's funny because I got on the plane thinking Gabriel Gonzaga, and as I spent fight week here, now I'm thinking Krokop, but I don't know if it's just one of those emotional things where you're like, I mean, it is. It's still an MMA legend. You know, whatever you think of the latter stages of his career, his UFC run, all those things, I mean, he is an MMA legend. And I think there's something kind of nostalgic about seeing him, and you're like, dude, he could do this. You know, but in reality, you're like, come on, man, he's not going to do it. But we'll see.
John, just be honest. You're just waiting for his entrance song to hit. Is that right?
Wild Boys is a stupid song. I'm sorry. I said it earlier on the video. It's a stupid song. I do like it when fighters pick a song. I know this is dumb. We're talking about walkout music. But it is cool when fighters have one song. You know, when Wanderlei Silva was in the prime of his career, you know, even afterwards when he came to the UFC, and it was probably, you know, the downside before everything that's happened with Wanderlei. I mean, you know, the lights go down, Sandstorm comes on, you know, and it's, you know, it's an old song, and, you know, now you got YouTube videos with Christmas lights to Sandstorm or whatever. You know,
it's iconic.
It's cool. It's iconic. And Wild Boys is iconic, but I'm sorry. It's just, I mean, nothing. What type of fear are you instilling in your opponent with Duran Duran?
It's a European thing. I don't know. We talked about it earlier on. I'm not saying it's a UK thing because I'm from London, but it's definitely a European thing.
Every time
I've traveled to many countries in Europe, many cities, you just get really weird, obscure songs from the 80s that are still, like, you know, top 10 playing mainstream radio in clubs and bars. It's a weird thing, but it's a Euro thing. What can I say?
It's a dumb song, but at least I know we're going to hear it. Let's talk about today. As we're taping this again, it's Thursday. The sun is starting to set in the afternoon. We're having a nice frosty beverage or two. Today was an off day. Nothing scheduled on the tour, so we kind of hung out. We came to the host hotel. We actually, to let you know a little behind the scenes, the three of us have rented an apartment, Airbnb.com. We found a place that's a few minutes from here. It's something that I kind of like to do when I'm on the road a little bit, just to get out of staying in a hotel room every week. You know, you actually have some people to chat with and more of a home atmosphere, which I enjoy. So we came to the host hotel today. We set up in the media room, and the guest fighters players were making their way through the hotel for the day. Forrest Griffin is here. Forrest actually spent the morning, went to Auschwitz, a very powerful trip, he said. You know, and I'll be honest, I didn't realize we were as close as we were. I might have tried to do something like that. Kind of a obviously a very historic and powerful site that if we come back again, I want to take some time to go see that. But Forrest did that. Russ Pearson came in, did a couple interviews, was talking. But the star of the show, Makwan Amirkani, Mr. Finland. This guy, if you didn't see his first fight, you should definitely see it because it was fun. I mean, a lot of people say it was an early stoppage, whatever. There was a little bit of controversy, but he debuted on the Stockholm card. This dude, I don't know how good he can be. You know, we that night before the Stockholm card, you know, we had rented an apartment in Stockholm, actually. We hooked up Fight Pass to this 70-inch TV that was in this apartment we had, and we were watching old fights of his, and I think we were all kind of excited just to see what he could bring to the cage. I don't know what his limit is, but this guy – admits he never even saw a UFC fight before he fought in the UFC, doesn't care about breaking down tape, doesn't really want to watch anybody else, came from a wrestling background. But this dude has the most ridiculous personality, man. Just, he was cracking us up today.
He was, and I think it's authentic. I think it's organic. I think that's just who he is, and it's a great thing. And again, it's another European fighter that's really coming through. And like I said, he's only had one fight. It was a great fight, great performance, really, really quick knockout. I think he even won a performance of the night that night. I'm not 100% sure. I'll have to look back at that. But he's a guest fighter, you know, on a UFC event here in Krakow. And yeah, I mean, he's got it. He was cracking us up in the press room earlier on, and we're looking to speak to him a little bit later on. And I think any content from any media outlet, whether it's video, audio, it's money. I mean, he's going to give you some really entertaining quotes.
We could only hear one side of the conversation. Obviously, he was on a telephone, so we weren't hearing the questions, but he was sitting, you know, 3 feet from us, and we were hearing his answers and literally just cracking us up out loud. I'll do my horrible Makwan Amirkani. I wouldn't even call it an impersonation. I don't even know if I can do it yet, but it was just funny. He's got this very soft-spoken voice, the complete opposite of the John Morgan voice. Very soft-spoken, but it's like the most subtle, direct, hilarious stuff ever. And he said, you know, what did he say? He said, Diego, he was talking about Diego Rivas, and I he's like, my opponent was scared to go sleep, so he tell USC he injured. Come on, man. You're not injured. You fight in USC. I fight with broken arm. You know, it's the most subtle, soft-spoken trash talk ever, but it's incredible.
Yeah.
And you know, I guess – well, I'll save that. We're going to try to have a little fun with him if we can. We're going to have a little fun with Makwan.
I remember another part of that same interview where I think he was just dismissing who the hell Fedor was. And I thought that was the most hilarious.
Who's the Russian guy? The Russian guy.
Yeah. And I just thought, that's just great. It's just like, I think he's definitely a superstar in the making. Like, if he can have some performances in the octagon that can match his personality and it can be as entertaining as his personality, then he's going to be right up there with Conor McGregor in terms of another guy from a country like Finland who doesn't really have anyone else.
They need somebody to latch on to.
Exactly.
It's interesting, man. And I guess we should mention, I haven't even seen the video yet. You haven't seen the video yet. So we will be seeing it for the first time as well. But about 5 minutes before we sat down to do this podcast, Jimmy Manoa rode up on a horse and carriage and was screaming. And what did Abby tell you?
Well, I have to give credit to the UFC PR team here in London. They do things differently. They just make the most of the fighters that they have in these, you know, different cities and countries here in Europe. And apparently there was some sort of media or PR obligation that Jimmy had to do, and it involved a horse and carriage. And they informed us that he's actually on his way back from the main town square back to the fighters' hotel. He'll be here in about 10 minutes. We were like, okay, Abby, get your camera ready, because that'll be a pretty funny moment to see him come arrive at the fighters hotel via horse and carriage. So I actually haven't seen the video footage as we speak right now, but apparently we're going to be uploading that onto the MMA Junkie Facebook page pretty soon, so people should definitely check that out. But hey man, this is the European team here. They do things a little bit differently. It can be quite entertaining, and obviously I'm sure you can kind of obviously, you know, speak on this, that, you know, having a different separate team just gives you different opportunities compared to what you're maybe used to in North and South America.
Yeah, fresh ideas, fresh perspective, you know, something that makes sense regionally that culturally might not make sense somewhere else. You know, they're able to dial that in. So it'll be fun. I'm looking forward to check that out. Let's talk about the European market real quickly. We know we've got Berlin coming up. We know we've got Scotland. Now, nothing has been officially announced for 2015. You and I both had separate conversations with Dave Allen. Dave was not ready exactly to break news, but it did sound to me, and again, I'm going to play that interview so people can hear for themselves, but it did sound very much to me like a Dublin return is in order in the fourth quarter. It's going to happen this year. From what I understand, from what I'm gathering, it's not done, but it looks pretty likely. Not a stadium show. Don't want to get people excited about Croke Park. I don't think it's contingent upon whether Conor McGregor wins or loses in July. I don't think they're trying to set up, you know, his first title defense or a rematch. I don't think that's what's going on. I just think that the market's so hot in Dublin. They're like, look, we can't go a whole calendar year without going back.
I think you're right. I think what you're seeing now in Ireland is one of the super hotbeds of MMA in the world. I mean, you look back in previous years and, you know, Canada was a hotbed led by GSP for so many years. Brazil, obviously, is such a hot market. And in Europe, you can't argue against the fact that Ireland is the number one MMA hotbed here in Europe.
Yep.
And I think we spoke about it briefly. And for my own perspective on this, I had a feeling that they were going to do a Dublin event later on this year. And I couldn't put my finger on where I heard that, who I spoke to, or what led me to that conclusion. But then, obviously, speaking to Dave Allen, you know, him saying, hey, you know what, we might be having a pint of Guinness at the end of the year in Dublin. I'm like, okay, that's kind of sending all the right messages and the signals. It's going to be amazing. And the thing is, regardless of the fact whether Conor's the champion, whether he's coming off a loss, whether he's even in, you know, physically involved on that card, fighting on that card in Dublin, it's not going to make a difference. You look at the press tour that the UFC just done with the Aldo McGregor, you know, promoting that fight, and you had, I think, 60,000+ fans just wanting to get free tickets to the press day.
It's incredible. They said, I guess it was available online, right? Yeah. And they had, you know, they could measure the analytics, and when the things were available, you had to reserve it online.
Yep.
They had 68,000 people in the waiting room, so to speak, waiting to click to get to a press tour,
yeah.
A press conference.
Yeah.
That's insane.
It's ridiculous. And again, I think it just shows the passion MMA fans have in Ireland, whether it's obviously just for Conor McGregor himself or whether it's MMA. I think it's a bit of both. I think obviously you need a superstar in Conor McGregor to kind of lead the pack. But, you know, behind him, there's other stars emerging. Look at Paddy Houlihan, and obviously, you know, Aisling Daly was supposed to fight on this card, but she's fighting on another card, I think, in a month or two. But you're going to start to see a lot more Irish fighters emerge, you know, in Conor McGregor's shadow, and they're going to be the ones that will get the platform, you know, in maybe annual events in Dublin. And obviously, you know, Dana White having that Irish lineage, I don't think that's going to, you know, hurt too much either. And he's even said it himself on many occasions. The atmosphere and that event in Dublin last year was the most insane, sickest experience he ever had in his life. We were both there. It's definitely one of, arguably, probably is, my favorite moment, either as a fan or a member of the media covering an MMA event. The atmosphere was just, it just took your breath away.
It was incredible. It was right up there. I mean, first of all, you have to factor in the fact that it was only 9,000 people versus, and what it reminded me of, the two places that really stuck out to me that reminded me of were a GSP fight at the Bell Center, which is like 22,000. That place gets ridiculously loud. And, of course, for GSP, they get loud. And then also in Brazil, the first trip down to Brazil at HSBC when they had Anderson, they had Nogueira, they had Shogun, everybody was on that card. That place was ridiculously loud as well. But, again, that was, you know, 13,000 or whatever. This is 9, so it was amazing. Last question I want to ask for you, just get European perspective. The Ultimate Fighter Europe basically officially announced. Oh, and let me throw in one thing. It sounds like we'll be back in London 2016, first quarter. That was another thing we kind of heard that's probably going
to
happen.
Yeah, they were trying really, really hard to try and get London, firstly, in the first half of 2015. It didn't work out. They were trying to get the annual thing going in February at the O2 Arena. That didn't work out. They were trying to squeeze it in for the end of the year. That didn't work out either. But it looks like London is definitely going to be on the agenda for early 2016. I'm thinking it'll probably be February, March of next year, once again in the O2 Arena. So London missed out this year, looking at the British fighters and the UK fighters specifically, it's not been the best year for them anyway.
Yeah.
So hopefully this gives them enough time to maybe get a couple of wins under their belt so they can actually have some momentum going into a London card as well.
Last thing I want to get, the Ultimate Fighter Europe was announced. The first truly European version of the Ultimate Fighter will be filming later this year, debuting early next year. Give me the temperature on that. Now, again, we started this podcast off talking about the bubble that we kind of live in. So, you know, we're probably – and you especially, European media members, looking forward to it more. But what's the temperature right now? You know, in the United States, I will say I'm actually excited for the next season of The Ultimate Fighter. You know, we've talked the whole ATT versus Black Zillions. We were just in Florida last week filming with everybody. I'm actually excited because all the people down there told me how awesome the atmosphere was. And so I'm cool to see that on TV. But before that happened, I mean, a lot of people obviously say, hey, the Ultimate Fighter, it's tired, it's old, it's done, the format's played out. What do you think? Is this going to be well-received? Are you excited for it? Just give me your brief thoughts on the Ultimate Fighter Europe.
Well, from a media perspective, definitely excited for it. I mean, I've mentioned this before. In terms of the big show coming to town here in Europe, we only get maybe four or five opportunities at a maximum where the UFC comes to Europe. So for them to kind of, you know, really pull the trigger on a tough Europe, which is going to obviously, you know, depending on the format and the structure, would involve various countries, various fighters from different teams and things of that nature. That'd be great in terms of coverage and getting content and media side of things. In terms of fan, it'd be interesting. I mean, it does come down to the structure. Like, I'm really looking forward to the new series of Tough in the United States, because the concept just cool. Really excites me, right? But then you see what they're doing in Tough Brazil, and it's basically the old format,
right?
So it'll depend. I mean, Dave Allen said earlier on in an interview that I conducted with him for MMAJunkie.com that, you know, in Europe we do have a very tribal sense, and we have this the soccer fan kind of syndrome in terms of everyone's passionate about their country. So if they can do something along the lines of a four nations in the UK, where you have England, Scotland, Wales, and Ireland competing against each other, that'd be amazing for UK TV, but that'll alienate the rest of Europe. So I don't know how they're going to replay this. Whether you can maybe get, I was thinking if they'd done the same sort of format of the new series of Tough in the United States, where you get maybe two of arguably the biggest camps here in Europe, where you have Team SBG versus maybe Team All Stars.
Cool.
That would be pretty
cool.
But again, it comes down to logistics. They're not 9 miles apart like the AT&T and Black Zillions are in Miami. But I mean, to finish off on the on Tough Europe, I mean, it looks as though it's hinting towards the fact that the house is going to be built in Abu Dhabi.
Hmm.
Very good chance of that happening. And the fact that they're building a house means that it will be an annual show. And they've just struck so many new TV broadcast deals in Russia, in the Netherlands recently, and they've got a new deal in the UK. So you've got all these TV broadcast partners that are just waiting for the UFC to give them content to kind of actually distribute to the audience, right? So I think everything's finally kind of falling in place. So it's definitely a good look for European UFC fans. Maybe not so much those outside of the European scene.
Makes sense, man. Well, Shmaikar, thank you for the time. Obviously, appreciate you talking. Obviously, your English accent really classes the place up a little bit. Anything you want to plug, man? Where can people find you on Twitter? I know you're a social media monster, dude. So tell people what where they should follow you at, man.
Well, my Twitter handle is SandhuMMA. So that's SandhuMMA. Want to give a shout out to my boy, my partner in crime, Abby, who's the cameraman and editor. You can find him on Twitter at Kamikaze. And yeah, man, we're just doing our thing. We're trying to do the best coverage we can possible. We're learning as we go, and we're trying to improve and do the best we can for fight fans here in Europe, but also around the world. Obviously, you know, very few people and members of the media from North America or the mainstream like John Morgan do actually make it out to UFC events, so it's great when, you know, you can make it out. But if you're looking for regular updates from European MMA media, there's a great group of guys out here that we're fortunate enough to be kind of classified alongside. And obviously with the UFC office being based in London, we're having some conversations where we could hopefully start to provide some more new content, exclusive content moving forward. So definitely look out for that via us on MMAJunkie.com.
Yeah, and I think people are going to start seeing your face a lot more on MMA Junkie. We're working on some things behind the scenes, and it's exciting, man. I think you guys are really going to be a big part of our European coverage moving forward, so I'm pretty excited about that. So obviously, thank you. We will have a few more frosty beverages. Stay tuned, though. We're going to take a brief break, and then I'm going to bring in a little bit of a Polish perspective so we can get some real local flavor. I mean, you're kind of local, but we're going to get real, real local. And then, of course, later on to close the show, I'm going to play both the Dave Allen audio and the Mirko Krokop audio so you can catch all that from UFC Fight Night 64 here in Krakow, Poland. Beautiful Krakow, Poland. Didn't know what to expect, but I'm loving it.
Krakow, John. Krakow.
Okay, after that brief break, we are back here on the MMA Roadshow with John Morgan. Again, we're sitting here on the rooftop of the Sheraton Hotel. The sun is starting to set a little bit. It's getting a little chilly, but you know what? Some fresh air is not so bad. I've got Thomas. Say your last name again. I just had you say it, and I can't say it.
It's Marciniak.
Marciniak.
Yeah.
It's not bad, right?
Marciniak? Yeah, you did a good job.
It's better than Jędrzejczyk.
Jędrzejczyk.
Say her name for us.
It's Joanna Jędrzejczyk.
Perfect, man. It sounds so easy when you say it, but it just rolls off your tongue. MMArocks.pl, covering the Polish MMA scene. Figured since we're here in Poland, let's get the expert. Let's get the man and hear what's going on. Talk to me about this card. I think all of us can admit this is not the biggest card of the year. This is not the best card. But still, it's the UFC coming to Poland for the very first time. How excited are you? What's your level of interest? Talk to me about what this event means to you.
Okay, first of all, John, thank you very much for having me. And going to your question, it certainly means a lot of things for Polish MMA. It's a big milestone that the UFC, you know, I remember I was the first credentialed journalist from Poland at the UFC 120 in London. I actually met you there. And I remember asking back then when the pressers were only having 10 people in the UK. I remember asking Dana White, how does he feel about the show in Poland? And he made the typical mistake asking, where? Holland? which happens a lot. And it's been a long time coming, and UFC has finally decided to dip their toe in this market. Since 2010, I mean, a lot of things happen on this scene. It's really blown up, largely in part thanks to a very strong domestic promotion, KSW. But it's still a very fertile market. KSW not only does so many shows per year, there's a lot of Polish talent that can't get regular fights. So it's a big thing. A lot of hardcore fans have been waiting for the UFC to come. And the excitement for the first show could be certainly higher. Like you said, it's not the best card, but there's a tangible level of it.
Talk to me about KSW. We know the name in the United States. I mean, hardcore MMA fans know the name. But help me understand the footprint. KSW, I think you said, does some pay-per-view. They've been on some free-to-air also. I mean, help me understand how big KSW is, how many people know about MMA. Just let me know what KSW means in Poland.
It's huge, and it's not an understatement. Maybe their heyday when they got 6 million people, I believe, was the record for a country that has 36 million in total population tuned in to watch Mariusz Pociński fight Marcin Najman. And I believe that was 2009, December. That was the high water mark. And since then, KSW has moved a bit to this hybrid model. They need more financing options. So they were actually the pioneers of the pay-per-view market here. And so they do two shows in pay-per-view per year, two shows in free TV. They get like around 3 million because, you know, the big stars, they fight on pay-per-view now. And they've certainly invested a lot. It's been a long organic process. This is a promotion that's now entering its 11th year of existence. So they know their way around.
And correct me if I'm wrong, the UFC has not even had a TV deal here, right? Were they not aired anywhere?
They had a TV deal.
Okay.
They had a TV deal with Orange Sport back. It expired, I think, in March of last year.
Okay.
So it's been a long time without the UFC getting any big coverage outside of Fight Pass. I have no idea how many people actually have the service in Poland, but I would assume it's not a great number.
Right. So some challenges for the UFC. I mean, really, KSW is the more known brand here. So I mean, this is they've got some work to do.
Absolutely. You know, every year there comes out a poll about the most popular sports in Poland, and the name of the position in the poll is usually martial arts such as MMA, KSW, K1. But largely, I think everybody understands it's KSW. You know, the time where people came to gyms and asked, "Hey, do you train KSW?" Those days are gone. They didn't manage to put their brand on quite such a high level. But when people think about mixed martial arts in Poland, they think about the letters KSW.
Certainly. That's interesting. The card itself, you've got 7 Polish fighters fighting on the card, kind of a Poland versus the world kind of event. Throw a number out there. Out of those 7, how many guys win? How many Polish fighters pick up victories? And girls, I should say.
Yeah. I would I certainly would be rooting for each and every one of them, but this never happens. Like, you can never get such a good deal. But I think 5 of them should come out with their hands raised.
Not bad. I think that could be fun. I've told people this. I don't know what the Polish crowd's going to be like. I want to get your prediction of what it's going to feel like in the building, but I've gone down to Brazil a lot, and, you know, Brazil, typically they book the card where it's a Brazilian versus a foreigner, you know. And when the Brazilians win, and they win repeatedly, and they win in a row, the atmosphere just starts building, and people get that pride. If the Poles win on Saturday night, is that what's going to happen? I mean, do you think we're going to have, like, a Dublin-esque crowd or a Brazilian-esque crowd? What are we going to get?
Yeah, I think there might be a snowball effect if the Poles keep winning. And this was a fun thing to that I had an opportunity to talk about with Jan Błachowicz. He, of course, used to fight on KSW shows, and he was routinely positioned under the freak show fighters, like Mariusz Pudzianowski, for example. And so one time when he fought, his supporters in the crowd started a chant that essentially was going like, the real fight of the night. So I hope we get to that point by the time the co-main event happens.
That's fantastic. Let me ask you about the crowd. Obviously, you've got yourself a UFC champion here in Poland with Joanna Jędrzejczyk. Obviously, an incredible performance for her to win. What's her level of fame here? I mean, a UFC champion, a world champion, that's a big deal. Is she getting mainstream attention?
Well, she's starting to get it. It was an extremely interesting study to look at her Facebook fan page numbers before and after the fight where she won the title. And on the eve of the fight with Carla Esparza, it was like 9,000. And right now it's 60, I think.
Or wow. Something.
So it exploded. I was fortunate enough to be at the reception at the airport when Joanna Jędrzejczyk landed in Poland. Not a lot of fans, but it was middle of the day, so perhaps people locked away in offices couldn't make it. There was pretty much all the important media that does cover MMA, so she's certainly been through, I believe you call it in America, a car wash.
The car wash, yeah. and whatever that means, right?
I think it's like ESPN parlance or something, like where that's been once. She's been doing it for 2 weeks. She's obviously here, part of big festivities. This one makes me disappointed that Claudia Gadelha and Aisling Daly fell off the card, because I fully expected Gadelha to win, and I expected the stare down and the rematch to start building.
That would have been fun. You know, we were talking earlier, I was talking with Shamat Karsandu. We kind of get the feeling that if Joanne Calderwood wins on Saturday night, the UFC is going to Scotland in the summer. It just makes sense to put Calderwood and Jędrzejczyk there as the main event. What do you think? Does that fight make sense to you? Is that what you think the likely direction is if Calderwood wins, since Gadelha's hurt?
Yeah, that fight does make sense on some level, but for me, as a supporter and as a scribe of Polish MMA, I would feel disappointed, because the timeline when UFC announced this show, it kind of made sense. We were crossing our fingers, hey, maybe we can get Joanna Jędrzejczyk fight for the title in Poland. It kind of works out. It didn't, and every time we asked Jędrzejczyk, you know, do you feel gutted that you're not actually challenging for the title in front of your home crowd? She said, no, you know, it's fine. I respect that. Carla Esparza is the champion. I have to go to her turf to get the title. So, you know, part of me would feel bad about the first defense coming actually on Joanne Calderwood's home turf.
Yeah.
But, you know, if I certainly hope that we have a champion in Europe now in the EMEA region, pardon me, such a tongue twister, and I certainly hope that we can see the title defended here.
Yeah. What do you think the future of MMA in Poland, or the UFC specifically, is in Poland? Is this the type of market that could be an annual destination? I don't mean necessarily just Krakow, but you know, some of the other cities as well. I think Lodz was the name of the city they originally announced.
Yeah, we have three arenas that I think could host UFC events. One is here in Krakow, one is in Łódź, and one is in Gdańsk by the seaside. So maybe there was a lot of speculation thinking that Gdańsk is going to be the destination, because you can count on the Swedish people making the trip.
Yeah.
It's not a long trip across the sea. So maybe that's something that the UFC will look to in the future. From what I've heard, the UFC is cognizant of some of the challenges they had in promoting this card, but they said that they keep saying that they want to fix those problems the next time they come around. So there's a willingness to come around. I think this might be maybe not really annual, maybe like once every 2 years deal. But you know, everything comes down to the TV deal, and I know that they've gotten a deal with a extreme sports channel that's probably going to be announced by the time this is up in Poland. But this is a very, very niche station. It's like the highest tier sports specialty station, which is a shame, because what happened with the TV negotiations, as far as I understand it, is they talked to Polsat, the station that shows KSW and shows pretty much 90% of MMA in Poland, but they wanted a long-term deal at first for what is for Poland a lot of money.
Right.
And as time grew, as the event grew nearer, the position changed to maybe we just do a one-off, and then other channels became interested, other channels with a bigger reach than extreme sports, and this also didn't exactly work. I don't know really what was the hold up there, but it's a shame because I generally can tell you that these channels were interested and they would have gladly shown the UFC event, but there were some obstacles.
Understood. Well, Thomas, man, I appreciate you stopping by and giving us the insight on Polish MMA. Obviously, MMArocks.pl is the website. What else do you want to plug? Twitter, Facebook? Where else can people find you?
MMArocks.pl is largely in Polish, but if you want to check out our interviews with the English fighters, and for the major Polish fighters, we also try to do subtitles in the English, so that way you can get some other insight into them. That's MMArocks.pl, and me personally on Twitter is largely in English. That will be at TJ Marciniak, and it's spelled TJMARCINIAK. Thank you very much, John, for having me.
Well done, my man. I don't even think I could have spelled your name if I was looking at it, man. You guys have tough names, man, but I appreciate the time.
Thank you for continuing listening to the MMA Roadshow with John Morgan. We want to thank our special guests, Chamakar Sandhu and Thomas Marciniak. And now we're going to go on to the interview section. We're going to first hear an interview with David Allen, again, the Senior Vice President and General Manager of Europe, Middle East, and Africa for the UFC. And following that, we're going to have Mirko Krokop's Media Day Scrum. Thanks for listening. Be sure, guys, to follow us on Instagram and Twitter. Our handles are the MMA Road Show. Thanks again for listening. We really, really appreciate it.
Well, it's obviously UFC's first time in Poland. Talk about the market itself, kind of what you've seen out of it so far.
Well, I think it's just been absolutely a fantastic debut for us coming here to Krakow. We're really excited about the arena. We're really excited about the crowd. Tickets are selling like hotcakes at this moment in time. We've had a surge in ticket sales this week. Still a few tickets left if anybody wants to get them. But it's not just us that's making our debut here. We've got seven fighters on the card that are making our debut. And so I think that's an amazing thing in itself for the card. But the crowd that's coming, we've sold tickets in 31 different countries around the world for this event. So it shows the universal appeal of what we're putting on here in the city. The city have welcomed us, but the world is welcome them. Such a great fight.
That's awesome. Talk about the challenge that you have in putting this. There's so many markets here. They're saying, come visit us, come visit us. And obviously, you've only got so many dates. How difficult is it for you to manage Europe as opposed to some of the other markets that don't have so many different countries to address?
I think it's the beautiful opportunity that we have. But within that opportunity, it makes it immense because we've only got limited resources and there's only limited time on the calendar. We've got 129 countries across Europe, Middle East, and Africa. And so far, the UFC have visited five. This will be our sixth country. So we've got immense opportunity to go elsewhere. The big thing that we have to do is prioritize where we want to go. And we've done that this year in returning to Stockholm. We're returning to Berlin, but we're entering two new markets in Glasgow and here in Krakow. And we want to try and enter some new markets again as we go towards the back end of the year, but we also want to revisit some of our favourites. So it is a challenge and it's a juggle. But there are a couple of countries that we haven't been to, and I call out France as the great example. France is a huge MMA community, huge love for the sport, a huge want for the UFC to be there. But we've got some issues that we've got to try and get over. And I'm confident that those issues will go away and that we will be standing underneath the Eiffel Tower sometime maybe at the back end of this year or the early part of next year. We'd love nothing better than that.
That'd be great. How did we end up here, actually? We'd announced another city before, didn't go there. I mean, why was this the right city to make the Polish debut?
Well, I think it's just everywhere within Poland, there is MMA gyms, there's an MMA community, there are people practicing, there are different things going on. What came together for this event was huge MMA community, and we know that by the crowd that will turn up on Saturday night, but also an absolutely absolutely awesome stadium. It looks like it's purpose-built. I was saying to some of the people earlier today, this actually feels and looks the same as our Stockholm event on January 24th, only it's a little bit smaller. It's probably half the size, to be honest. But the look and feel of the stadium, the seating, the barriers, the way the dome is built, everything about the arena just makes it a perfect place for the UFC to come on Saturday night.
Talk about the impact of finally having a European UFC champion, Joanna, obviously an incredible performance. What does that do for you, and what is her appeal in the Polish market and European market in general?
Well, it's been phenomenal. The atmosphere, and I use atmosphere because we're used to the atmosphere being at a UFC event, but the atmosphere around Joanna has been amazing. People from all walks of life, not just from the MMA community, are embracing her. She was mobbed at the airport when she came home. She's mobbed everywhere she goes. And actually, she'll be here on Saturday night, and her crowd will actually get the opportunity of welcoming her into the stadium. So I think it's fantastic. From a UFC Europe point of view, it is fantastic to have a European champion sitting in our market. But we have a couple of other guys and girls who actually feel that the belt is not too far away. You saw the euphoria around Conor when he was doing the world tour with Jose last week, so there's one guy. We've got Alex making his comeback in Berlin against Glover, and there's another guy that wants to have a chance at it. And all our European fighters really believe and should believe that they could become the next champion. It's there for their taking. It's up to them.
It's been hard to get title fights in the European market because of the time zones and all that, but I got to think, if Joanne Calderwood wins on Saturday night, and she's got to win, but Joanne versus Joanna in Scotland in the summer would be a perfect opportunity for a title fight. Is that something that sounds appealing to you? Do you think maybe it could happen? I know, Sean's got to make the fights, but do you think that's something that we could maybe see?
I think the beautiful part about it would be listening to Joe Rogan trying to commentate on Joanna versus Joanne. I think that would be just fantastic in itself. So there's the matchup. But yes, I mean, we would love for that to all the stars to line up and for that to happen. That would be just amazing. The Glasgow card is going to be amazing in its own way. We have over 7,000 people have signed up on a pre-order for the stadium. Stadium only holds 9,500. So it's going to be sold out one way or the other. So if people want tickets, they have to get online really, really quick and do it. But it would be fantastic for us to be able to hold a world title fight. And if Joanna wins on Saturday night, that's the opportunity or the problem that she gives Sean Shelby.
Help us understand the star appeal of Conor McGregor. Obviously, we've seen him blow up in the States, but I've got to imagine it's on an even different scale here in Europe. How big of a star is Conor McGregor over here?
Well, I think Conor's one of those guys that, apart from his ability inside the octagon, and we'll find out how really good that ability is when he stands up against Jose, who hasn't been beaten in 10 years inside the octagon. So you got a great matchup in the two fighters. But the other side of it is, I think the thing to think about is every now and again in any sport, somewhere along the line comes one guy or girl who's got what I would call the it factor. And I think Conor has that it factor. And with an it factor, you either love it or you hate it. There's no getting in the middle of it. And I think Conor has got that it factor. It has helped the world of MMA sport and bringing it to the masses, not just within our own community, but helping us expand right out and get into broad appeal right across the media, right across the landscape of television and broadcast. It's general public. And people know who Conor is.
That's great. We know we've got Berlin. We know we've got Scotland. We don't know much about the rest of 2015. Can you break some news? Can you tease anything? What can the European market expect to see for the rest of this year?
Can I break some news? I could break some news, and I'd love to give you an exclusive on it. But all as I would say is I'm an Irish guy, and I would love nothing better than to go back to Ireland on the last quarter of this year and be enjoying a pint of Guinness with you, John, my friend, sitting in a Dublin bar.
Thank you for the time today, obviously. Does this feel any different being back than it did the first time around?
First time in Krakow?
No, as far as being back with the UFC and going and fighting in the UFC again, does it feel any different than it did the last time?
No, I feel good.
Did, did you envision yourself coming back here? Is this something that you had in mind, or did it just kind of happen for you?
It just happened.
And now that you're here, are you excited about it? I mean, you've had so many big fights in your life. Is this exciting for you, or is it just a job?
Every fight is exciting for me.
Doing media.
It was never a job for me. That's my passion.
I know doing media is not necessarily your passion.
Yeah, the media is not my passion, definitely.
Is this the least favorite part of your job?
That's hardest part, believe me. That's hardest part. But I got to swallow.
What's the dumbest question you've been asked this week?
What's the dumbest question?
Yeah.
This one.
Is it true that you came very close to signing with Bellator in the UFC?
Gentlemen, please, let's stick to this fight. You know, and the stories from Adam and Eve, and since I was 3 months old, and who taught me to drive a bicycle, let's leave it for other occasions, if you agree. Let's talk about this fight. Who cares about Bellator? Bellator is history, right?
Gonzaga is perhaps most known for his victory over Lee. Yeah. It's kind of like a tad associated with the team. How do you feel about being able to sort of change that, about like taking back that loss?
You were older style and you had to look at
Well, I feel good, you know. That's why I'm here. That's why I'm here, to try to get my revenge. And as I said before, even if I don't success, I will knew that I tried. You know, for me that's enough. And I really do my best, you know, to prepare myself as much as possible. And I'm in a really good shape. I had a great sparring, and my friend Stipe Miocic came to Croatia. He spent 2 weeks doing sparring with me, and I'm okay.
What do you think will be the biggest difference in this fight?
I don't think much, you know. I'm just a fighter, you know. If I'm paid to do thinking, I wouldn't be sitting here right now. You know? I'm just a fighter, you know. I'm joking, but I don't think too much about it.
Did you ever expect that you'd be back? You know, you're traveling around the world, you're fighting in Asia, you're doing a lot of kickboxing. Did you ever expect that you'd be back in the UFC?
I don't know what to say. Maybe yes, maybe no. I don't know.
Now you're here, Mirko. Is your motivation now just to avenge the losses against the guys who you fought previously in the UFC?
It's too loud here. Can you repeat it?
Sorry. What were your main aims now you're back in the UFC? Are you looking to avenge the losses you had last time you were here?
Before I finally go in final retirement, I would like to do a few rematches, and that makes me happy. You know, I would like to have fights that will make me inspired to do hard trainings. You know, and definitely fight with Gabriel Gonzaga is one of them.
Besides this one, is there a particular rematch that you're really, really keen to have?
No, even Gonzaga wasn't a particular opponent I picked with my finger. You know, I said when I talked with UFC that I would like to have some rematches, you know, and they offered me Gabriel Gonzaga as a first opponent. I didn't say give me Gonzaga as a first one.
During your time outside of the UFC, is there anything special that you've been working on, or anything where you, that you feel like you've progressed since your first one?
So what's your thoughts on? I was doing usual things that I did before. You know, I believe from my previous time spent in UFC that I have less injury. Even I'm older now, of course. I joined 2007 and now it's 2015, and of course I'm older. But I feel really good. You know, for 40 years old grandpa, I feel really good. I feel really good, you know. It's not just that I feel, you know. Numbers doesn't lie, you know. If I can do training on a treadmill, on the bicycle, certain rounds of sparring with three young opponents, changing on me, you know, it's numbers, you know. It's not I think or I feel. So I feel really good.
What do you think about Polish MMA?
Well, I don't follow actually too much Polish MMA. I don't follow actually MMA at all. No, I don't watch TV too much. I don't go on internet portals to watch. I know for Jan Blachowicz and to ask me who else do you know from Polish MMA I couldn't answer the question. No, really, really. I just don't follow. It's not arrogant. I really don't follow. No, I'm interested for my own career, and I'm studying my opponents, you know, who are picked, and I don't have time to them. But I heard for Jan Blachowicz before. Now he's for main event here.
But you've never lost in a rematch. Do you know why that is? Is there something about rematches? You know, is it studying or knowledge the second time around? Why that you've been perfect?
I don't know. Rematch is always different. You know? I believe it's harder for the one who won in the first time. You know,
just because they have to repeat that performance or no motivation.
I don't know. I think the fighter who lost in the first one enters smarter, better prepared, with I would say with bigger wish and desire to beat him, you know. But of course it doesn't have to mean anything, you know. I just, but we'll see, you know.
You're such a popular fighter, especially in your home country of Croatia, and you're a real icon. I mean, you're the reason I started following martial arts. So how many times a day do you get messages from fans, or, you know, how much does that mean to you that people hold you in such high regard?
Well, from female fans, very rare, and male fans I don't follow too much. I'm joking, but I'm receiving a lot of messages, you know, on my Facebook, and I received a few hundreds messages in the last 2 days, you know, people around the world supporting me, and that's nice, you know, when you know that people still support you, people still loves you, and it's also good to know, you know.
How about we talked to some of the fighters on the card, and even some of the fighters were like, he's a legend, they were taking pictures with you and couldn't wait. How does that make you feel? I mean, do you feel respect? Do you feel old? I mean, how do you feel when guys on the card want to take pictures?
It makes me proud. It means that I was a hard worker and that I make something of my career. You know, it flatters, I believe, to every man, you know. And yeah, I did this morning few photos. I don't know the names of the guys, but I did some photos this morning. It's nice. It's nice to feel. And I don't care how somebody else sees me. You know, I feel good. You know, I don't think I'm old. You know, especially for a guy who trains and lives like me. I'm professional, and you know what? I bet that I can do now, right now, more burpees than any of those guys. More burpees in a row. Let me see who will take the challenge. I put 100,000 on it.
I'll pass.
You know what burpees is?
Yeah.
Explain to them who doesn't. You know what burpees is? Yes, yeah, jump score. I was doing it in the last conditioning train 25 minutes without a break.
Wow.
And as long as I can repeat it, I don't care if I'm 30, 40, or 50. You know, of course, at the age of 50, I won't be fighting. You know, but they got to be realistic. You know, yeah. Nobody can fight forever. You know, and but definitely there are a few fights in front of me that I really want to do, and then we'll see. You know, and so many different things you push. Pushing me to retirement. My sons are getting older, you know. It's a huge stress. It's not normal sport like, I don't know, like a tennis, swimming, soccer, you know. You can get hurt, you know. You can get hurt.
What do they say? Have they encouraged you? Like, hey, we don't want to see you fighting anymore?
No, they are still too young, you know. And my younger one, Philip, he is only 4 and a half. He doesn't understand. And last sparring I had with Stipe Miocic, it was really brutal, you know. We fought each other like crazy. We were both bloody, you know. We tried to take head off of one of each other, you know. And in one moment, in the middle of the sparring, I saw my kid next to the cage. The guys let him come and watch the sparring. He was in another part of the gym, you know, in a part where we are doing weightlifting. And he just, you know, he saw me fighting, and he just approached, and I stopped the sparring, you know, and I start yelling on the guys, you know. I can fall down, you know. It's easy if Stipe falls down, he won't feel it, you know. But if he see his father is falling down, and we were fighting like crazy, you know, like crazy, believe me, full sparring, 100%. strength, you know. And then I was really upset, you know. I was really upset, and it doesn't happen in a sport like swimming, like basketball. You know, you can bring your wife, you can bring your mama, you can bring anyone, you know, to watch. This is, you will agree, I believe, this is a little bit different, you know.
Do you know if your sons will get involved with kickboxing or MMA when they're older, or do you like to keep them away from them?
I won't keep them away. I won't push them inside. It will be their decision. Personally, I would like them to stay away. Personally, I would like. But if they show some talent, wish, desire, they will have a support. No, I'm fine.
So will you have your family here, or you left them home?
No. I don't bring my family, and I fight. Never.
So you had a history in politician in your life. Why did you quit?
It's not politician. Actually, I was just a member of parliament. You can't call it politician. True politician is a prime minister and the president. That's people who can call themselves politician. But being a member of parliament, you're doing what? You're raising your hands to vote yes or not. It's actually, it's not politics. The way I see it. Yeah, it's not the way, politics, the way I see it. And of course, I don't have desire to be a prime minister or a president. No. I'm done with politics.
What about something like coaching in something like the Ultimate Fighter? The UFC are looking to grow over here in Europe. Maybe a European Ultimate Fighter show. Would that be something you'd be interested in? Maybe being a lead coach on a series like that?
Maybe. I have a couple of young guys, you know, training with me in the gym, and right now I don't have time to dedicate my time to them. You know, I have to be focused on my own training. But one day when I will be retired, definitely I will work with young talents, but with really talents. I'm not planning to open a club that anybody can come inside, pay a monthly rate and train, you know, as a recreation. I will just work with the young talented fighters.
So you think you'll stay in the sport after you've finished actually fighting?
Did I say that? If I will have a young talented fighters, I will do anything I can to help them. That's all. But maybe I won't have. I don't know.
What fighting means for you?
What fighting means for me? It's now a philosophical question. It's a philosophical question. I choose it as my life goal. It's my job, and it's also my passion.
Have you started to put a number on it? You said, you know, you feel good, but have you started to put a number on when you'll have to walk away from the sport, or do you just take it fight by fight?
I didn't get it.
Have you set a number on when you think you'll have to retire? Because you said you're kind of inching towards it. Do you know like how old you can fight, or is it just about how you feel?
No, it's about everything is it depends about possible injuries. Right now I feel good, but you know, any training could be the last one. If I broke my during my UFC days, I broke my knee. I had four heart surgery on the knee, you know, and definitely if I hurt my another one, it will take me forever from the sport. I won't be able to recover, you know, and I will have to go for the surgery, and I have to recover, you know, but not for the top level of fighting, you know. I won't be able, and when I start feeling pain during training, warming up, then it's too much, you know. Then it's too much.
You've had an incredibly long career. One thing I've always noticed about your fights is you have the same tournament, the same coaches that have been with you this whole time. A lot of fighters make shop and change coaches and tournament. How close are you with you and your coaches, both in the gym and outside the gym in your personal life?
How what? How?
How close are you to your coaches?
We are really close friends. In my case, it doesn't work different way. We are really close friends. Those two guys that were with me, Steve and Mario, they are closest friends I have, and they are like family. It can't function differently, in my case at least.
Sorry, have you ever been in Krakow?
Yes, I was here in 2000. In 2009, I was in Krakow.
What do you think about this?
I haven't seen too much of Krakow. I haven't seen too much of Krakow. But everybody says that it's a beautiful city, but buildings are, how should I say, gray. You know, it looks, I can see its influence of Russia here. It's, yeah, I think you will agree, you know, but it has nothing to do with the people that lives here and many old castles, and everybody says that it's a beautiful city, but I haven't seen too much of it. Last time I was here, I just spent one night in Sheraton Hotel, like now, and I went to Auschwitz. I wanted to see concentration camp Auschwitz, and same day we went home, you know, so I haven't seen really much about Auschwitz.
And what do you think about this arena?
I think nothing. Why do I have to have an opinion about the arena? I think nothing. It looks nice. It looks nice. It looks nice. What is capacity for it?
Because it's the biggest in Poland.
Huh?
It's the biggest in Poland.
Yeah. Nice.
Okay.
I don't think it's arena is something I should have opinion about. Arena like arena, I don't care. Especially when they turn off the lights and everyone looks the same.
One thing you must have an opinion about is music. Why Duran Duran? Why Wild Boys? Why is that your
one? I got to pick one, you know. I got to pick one, and Wild Boys is a song I really like, and when I start entering people start recognize and put together Wild Boys together with me, and that's why I never changed. A few times I
came into the Pride music on your debut, didn't you? Your UFC debut, yeah. Eddie Sanchez?
Yeah, it was Pride music, and once in Japan I entered with one Creation song, and in Zagreb in K1 final I enter with Ennio Morricone, Ecstasy of Gold. Okay, that's it.
One question. What are your other passions than fighting? Besides fighting, do you have any other passions?
Other passions? Well, I don't have time for other passions. Fighting requires 2 trainings a day, and I have 2 kids. Few dogs, so I'm taking care about them. And,
if you will stop fighting,
I will stop fighting. Not if.
Okay.
If I won't. Nobody will fight for him.
Do you have idea how it will be?
How my life is going to look like?
Yeah.
I don't know. I will sleep till 11 o'clock. Wake up, taking my dogs in the forest, lunch, and I will start drink, of course. And in the afternoon, about 6-7, I will go in my coffee bar. You play cards, not poker. No, I don't want to lose the money I earn. It's bloody money, you know. But we play some our local games, you know. Schnapps, Bella, and I'm world champion in those games.
Will you support young fighters?
Of course. Who requires help, I will support.
Thank you.
Welcome. Gentlemen, shoot if you have any more questions. I'm here.
It seems like you're rather enjoying yourself now.
You run out of the questions. Come on. Yeah, can you believe, huh? Mark, just bring it on.
Would the Mirko Krokop of 2015 beat the Mirko Krokop who fought Gonzaga first time round?
I believe he would.
Why are you a better fighter now than back then? I know you had injuries back then, and you were. But in terms of sort of
I don't know.
Technical side,
I believe I'm better prepared. I'm more experienced. I'm adapted on fighting in the cage. I have a cage in my gym, and I'm training in the cage. Even for kickboxing fights, I was training in the cage, and I just feel good. Maybe I'm not right. I don't know. Maybe I just think that I would beat Mirko Frutas. I don't know. Really, I don't know. I believe that I'm the best now. But.
And obviously, everyone here knows about your career. You know, you're one of the most adored heavyweight fighters of all time. For those people who are tuning in, especially back in my country of England, who maybe haven't seen you fight before, they're still people new to the sport every day. What can I expect from a Mirko Krokop fight?
I don't know. If I could know what I should expect, believe me, I wouldn't sit here. I would sit in some office and taking $5, $10, or $100,000 to tell people what will happen in their lives. I don't know. I can't say. But I will definitely do my best. I'm prepared. I'm ready. No excuses. No excuses for this fight. I was injured. I'm ready. I'm ready for the fight, and I came here to win. I'm sure that my opponent will say the same thing, but we'll count the dead bodies after the battle, right?
One question. The promotion of this fight, time and time and time again, they're showing that clip of you getting knocked out. How as the fighter that actually experienced that, how hard is that to see over and over again?
It's very low from promotion and from my employer to show me, to show how he kicked me to the head. But I take it as a normal thing. It's not comfortable to see you be, to see yourself being kicked to the head and falling down, but that's part of my job. Nobody pushed me aside, and I got to pay the price. I got to pay the price. It's not UFC's fault, it's my fault, you know, and who cares? But if you ask me if I like to see that, I don't like to see that. If somebody put me to watch it hundreds of times, why would I see it? I saw it enough times.
And you how often did you watch it afterwards, Mirka? Did you want to put it behind you, or did you watch it?
I saw it right after the fight, you know. And then I can't say that I was watching every night. You know, right? I know exactly what happened, and there is no need to watch it.
Brilliant. Thank you very much.
That's all. Come on, guys. I'm in a good mood.
You're in the zone.
Don't let me go. Don't let me go. Don't let me go. You.
Yeah. Could you help us? Could
you help? Orange Sport. Oh, yeah. Where is the money for commercial? Orange Sport, huh?
Yeah.
Orange Sport.
Yes.
You used to broadcast UFC events live, but
yes,
you don't broadcast that anymore. Because I was watching you for free. I had Orange Sport on satellite.
And,
yeah.
Yes, we had Orange. We had UFC for 2 seasons for free. Season.
Are you still broadcasting
but
live?
Not now. But not now.
Not now.
Not now.
Then keep your market.
Okay. Starving Polish people and have more fun in our country. They wait for your fight. What do you think? It would be easier to back the UFC in our country?
I don't think about it that way. Country has nothing to do in the fighting with my performance. UFC decided to put me in to fight in Poland. I agreed with that, but it has nothing to do with the country. It can be in Croatia, and it can be next to my house. But if I'm not ready, I will lose the fight. If I'm ready, we can fight on the moon.
Yeah. The second fight is Gonzaga. It's most important for you.
It's a hard question, you know. I think every fight is the most important. Every fight is most important, and that's how I look at it. And I approach every fight as the most important.
Where do you prepare for this fight?
I was preparing in my gym in my house.
With which trainer?
You?
Yeah.
This gentleman.
Yeah.
With the big nose. Yeah. Yeah. That one.
Some said that Stipe Miocic.
Yeah, Stipe Miocic was there too.
So what do you think about your preparation?
I had a good preparation. I'm happy with that.
What do you think about first ticket?
I think nothing. I'm not paid to think about first ready for. I'm paid to come here to fight, to perform a good fight. I'm paid to make fans happy, satisfied, and that's it.
That's going to do it from here in Krakow or Krakow, depending on how you want to approach it. It's just from Poland. We'll just say it's from Poland. It's a beautiful night. I think we're going to pour a few more of these adult beverages and have a nice night and look forward to the weekend and what hopefully – maybe it'll be one of those sleeper shows where nobody's really looking, you know, super forward to it, and then we just end up getting a hell of a night of fights and everybody has a good time. So that is it for the MMA Roadshow. Thank you for listening. Hey, we're on iTunes now, so subscribe, review. Launched an Instagram account, the MMA Roadshow, taking pictures of our adventures on the road, and so you can kind of share in and kind of see what we're seeing on a daily basis, and then tune into this thing once a week. So once again, thanks for listening. Hope you have a good time, and we'll talk to you later.